We give you praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, greet two people and then take your seat. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, so we have been paying attention on what the Spirit of God said to us concerning this year, so that we can make the most of the year. Bible teaching not only passes across information, it also imparts grace. Hallelujah. It imparts grace and strength to be able to do what you hear. Yes, you have a part to play. You have a role to play. The book of the law belonged to Israel, as it were, but God told Joshua to let it not depart from his mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that he may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then he will make his way prosperous. Then he will have good success. That is, he will deal wisely in the affairs of men, or better still, in his affairs as the leader of the children of Israel, as a spiritual leader of the children of Israel. Amen? So the book of the law has the capacity to make Joshua lead the children of Israel as God wants. So it's not just information that is therein. It imparts grace and strength to do what is therein. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So as we hear, it helps us to be more effective in carrying out what the Lord has said to us concerning this year. It imparts the grace to us to be fruitful in our growing. I mean, if you want to put it that way, it imparts the grace to grow and to be fruitful. And as much as, of course, that's not what we'd hear throughout the year, but we'll do our best to present reminders. So it keeps staying on my heart, you know, at least we're almost done with the first month of the year, to constantly hear again and again that God wants us to grow individually and collectively, and he wants us to be fruitful this year. Hallelujah. He wants us to increase. He wants us to multiply. He's letting us know that this is a season of harvests. Hallelujah. All round, season of harvests, harvest of souls, harvest of disciples, harvest of the miraculous. Amen. Harvest, harvest, and harvest. Praise the Lord. And we've seen the role of God's word. We looked at the parable of the sower. And also we've seen the role of prayer. And we, of course, parable of the sower from Mark 4, from verse 3 to 8, and then the explanation of the parable from verse 14. To 20. Okay? And we see that we not only are supposed to hear, but to take delight in what we hear. To take delight. And taking delight in what you hear is to want to use what you hear for the purpose for which God communicated it to you. In other words, the reason for God's word in your heart is so that it can bear fruits. And Jesus lets us know the desire of the Father in John 15, 1 to 2. That what the Father does is the branch that doesn't bear fruits, it helps it to bear fruits. And the one that bears fruits, he purges it or prunes it to bear more fruit. Hallelujah. So we must be insistent to bear fruits by the word, fruits of righteousness, fruits of redemption. Amen. We must ensure fruitfulness by the power of the Holy Ghost. And of course, like I said, we looked at confidence in prayer. 1 John 5:14-15. Okay, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So our confidence is that we have a God who hears our prayers, whose ears are open to our cries. Glory to God. Whose ears are open. That is our confidence in Him. You know this old song? I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who never fails forevermore. Hallelujah. He never fails. Amen. Our confidence in Him is that He hears us. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall, that's what James said, it shall be given to him. Glory to God. It shall be given to him. And we've looked at the role of the Spirit. Amen. That the Spirit of God has that role exclusive to Him. God has a role in growth and fruitfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God that grants the increase. Yes, there are things to do that will lead to increase, but He's the one that provides increase. Is the one. Only Him grants increase. We play a part in planting, in watering. Amen. But it is God that grants the increase. It is God that ensures that the planting and the watering leads to increase. So that doesn't mean we will not play our part or play our role. We will. We would. Amen. But it is God that grants the increase. So we must learn to give room to the Spirit of God to walk or to breathe on what we do, to breathe. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit of God moved upon that darkness. Okay? It's like saying He breathed upon the darkness. Amen? He breathed upon the darkness, and there was light. There was light. So if we give room to the Holy Ghost, as we dare to act on the word, we will see the increase that only the Spirit of God provides. Only the Spirit of God brings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I know the role of the Spirit in my life. I can't hear you say, I know the role of the Spirit in my life. The Spirit of God brings increase, brings fruitfulness. I give room to the Holy Ghost. I expect increase by the Spirit of God. I give room to the Holy Ghost. I know the role of the Holy Ghost in my life and my ministry. I give room to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you must remind yourself of the role of the Spirit constantly in your life. You must remind yourself. Okay? You mustn't get stuck at the Spirit is in me. He has made me the temple of God and that's it. He brings fruitfulness. Hallelujah. He brings beauty to your life. I think Reverend McCarkey will say that his dad will say that if you would walk with the Holy Ghost, it will make you look smart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has a reputation in turning the average person, I can't remember if that was the particular word used, or maybe even the person that is dumb, into a genius. He has that reputation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I give room to the Holy Ghost in my life and in my ministry. I give room to the Holy Ghost in my life and in my ministry. In prayer, I give room to the Holy Ghost. In Bible study, Bible reading, Bible learning, Bible preaching and teaching, I give room to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, you don't have to feel like it. Just say what you're hearing. Praise the Lord. Say, I give room to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I told you that there are two confessions, as it were. The one you say from your heart, that is, what you believe, you speak from persuasion. And the one you say to your heart, the one that you speak that brings you to persuasion. So either way, you must talk God's word. Take the chance every time. Chance upon it. Okay? Don't be someone who is always thinking too much. No. I didn't say you shouldn't think. But let your mouth be useful. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, the Christian ought to tell himself regularly and not have a problem with such a statement that my mouth is for the word of God. Amen. Or you say, your mouth is not for eating. You're like, take it easy now. Our mouth is for eating, sir. Okay. Amen. My mouth is for the word. Hallelujah. I speak God's word regularly. I channel God's power in my life, in my ministry, to my life, and to my ministry. I speak God's word all the time. I channel God's power on a regular basis. So the power of God is working in my life and my ministry. In the name of Jesus, I speak God's word, and my faith is stead up for the impossible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we must pay attention to these things. You must give time, quality time to God's word. Give time to prayer. You must build confidence in the Father who hears, who listens to our cry. Hallelujah. And you know what that means? He doesn't listen for fun, you know. He listens to grant requests. So we saw it in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. He listens to grant requests. Glory to God. So today, I feel stirred up in my heart to revisit a sermon that we took in 2022. Amen. And we titled Faith for the Impossible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, I have faith for the impossible. Hallelujah. Say, I have faith for the impossible. Say, I have faith for the impossible. Hallelujah. Say, tonight, my faith is stirred up for the impossible. Glory to God. Luke 1. I mean, if we give the Spirit of God impossible tasks, situations, then we'll see the power of God move more. Amen. Amen. See the power of God move more. I heard of a man who had an orphanage with over 2,000 people in the orphanage, and then he just vowed to himself that he'll never beg any man for money. That God will supply their needs by prayer. My goodness. And there was a day he prayed. No food, no money. Told the children, get your plates ready for food. And he prayed. You know what happened? A truck going with milk and maybe cake and the likes was going to deliver that somewhere. Broke down in front of his orphanage. And by the time they will repair the truck, the milk and the stuffs inside the truck would have expired and gotten bad. So rather than allow that, just walked there and said, do you need milk? Yeah, we'll be waiting for it. Actually, we have 2,000 people here. That's how they ate that day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you here?
Yes,
the angel told Mary. And what did he say? How did you go again? Isaiah 7:14, right? You'll be with child. And Mary said, how shall this be? He said, I know not a man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the high shall overshadow you. That only thing which in you shall be called the Son of God. After he said that. Amen?
Amen.
He now said, Elizabeth, I don't know, maybe it's before that or after, I can't remember now. Elizabeth, your cousin, she has also given birth. The one that was called barren is with child now. This is the sixth month. Amen? I know some people abuse testimonies where you're going to say, I want to thank the Lord. My children are abroad. Praise the Lord. You know? And, you know, all those kind of funny stuff. But the truth is, when you hear what God has done for another, if he doesn't stir your faith up, your faith is dead. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's something you should hear, and you should not be able to eat. Right? You won't be able to eat. You just fast and pray that day. Praise the Lord. Amen? The angel told Mary, Elizabeth, your cousin, is with child now, the one that had no child up until now. This is the sixth month. Say, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Men have done things. Amen. Men have done things. One of the things I hope to do more this year is to be a student of history. Christian history. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, Moses, God told Moses to speak to a rock and water will come out to feed the children of Israel. You know, there's a man that did the same. Apostle Joseph Ayobabalola. Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. What's the difference? He prayed. The Queen of England said concerning John Knox, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of England. Woo. 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 So if you are going to send the armies of England to a place, maybe for war, it's better for them to go than for John Knox to pray. That's what the Queen said. Oh, you didn't see it like that. I fear that more. Hallelujah. Faith for the impossible. Luke 1. 37. Luke 1, 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. But you know, the angel came in the strength of God's word. Isaiah 7:14, right? So the angel was saying invariably, that is, if you are going to look at verse 37 in another way, not to change what was said, but the implication of what was said. When he said, for with God nothing shall be impossible, he meant that no word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. Isaiah 55 and 11. You can read from verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen?
Amen.
It will not return to me empty. No, it won't. It will accomplish that which I please. It will fulfill my desire. That's meaning it will not return to me empty. It will not just go and come back. No. It will accomplish that which I please. That's what God said. That's his word. So no word of God is void of power, or with God, nothing at all shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible if it's God. Genesis 18, Genesis 18 and verse 14. Genesis 18 and verse 14. Let's look at it from verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? No, don't forget, the Lord is saying to man, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then what do you say? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Glory to God. Someone who had been barren, someone who had passed the age of childbearing, and God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that needs to be done in the earth that is too hard for the Lord? Of course, the rest of the story, or how do they say, the rest is history, right? She conceived, amen?
Amen.
And bore Isaac. Is there anything to add for the Lord? If we dare to answer, we say, of course not. Job 42. Faith for the impossible. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Thou canst do everything. Some will render it this way in Job 42 and 2. No purpose of yours can be withheld. Hallelujah. None. No purpose of yours. So if God is seeing a church in that place, it has to happen. Praise the Lord. It has to happen. If God is commanding a crusade in that place, it has to happen. No purpose of yours can be withheld. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power, by thy great power, beg your pardon, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing at all. There is nothing too hard for thee. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah 8 and verse 6. Zechariah 8 and verse 6. Thus said the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of these people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, said the Lord of hosts. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? If it's marvelous in the eyes of the remnant in this place, should it be marvelous in my eyes too? should it be marvelous? If it's impossible to man, should it be possible to me? That's what that means. If it's a great task to man, should it be a greater task to me? Matthew 19 and verse 26. Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus said, okay, let's read it. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things, hallelujah, all things are possible. Of course, you know he had said from 23, then Jesus said unto his disciples, very, very, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? So, on the premise of the hardness of Satan to enter into the kingdom of God, that's salvation, the question of the disciples, he then said, with men, this that he has said is impossible, but with God, hallelujah, all things are possible. Of course, as good Bible students, we should know enough not to label all things as it were. There was a context to that, amen, and there's always a context to things, praise the Lord. Now, we're not trying to say that it means that all things is small. No, all vast, wide, praise the Lord. We're not saying all things that man can think of, even the evil man or the unrenewed mind and all of, no, but truly and of the truth, amen, with God all things are possible. In Mark 10 and 27. Let's look at Mark's account. Mark 10 and 27. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. Hallelujah. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Luke 18. Luke 18 and 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. It doesn't waste time. Amen. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. They are all possible with God. Of course, the word impossible, I do not tell, just the way it sounds, I do not tell, a word that means to be unable, depending on the context of its usage, to be unable or be impossible. Okay, that's more or less passive. It also means not to have strength, power, or ability. It also means cannot be done. In Matthew 17, so that which man is unable to do, that which has become impossible for man, that which man has not strength, power, or ability to do or accomplish, that which man has found and concluded and settled as cannot be done are all possible with God. All possible with God. All possible with God. So Jesus in Matthew 17 and 20, he said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, a grain of mustard seed is so little. If you just have just little faith, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I do not tell. Nothing shall be impossible. There's nothing you will not be able to do if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Because when you have such a faith, that faith which is of God, you will say to the mountain, be removed, and it shall be done. It shall remove. Be removed, and it shall remove.
be removed, and it shall remove. So if you have faith in God, faith in God, faith in his word, faith in what he has done, faith in redemption, faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, faith in the plan of God, faith in the power and the glory and the might of God, then nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing that God says is possible shall be impossible to you. In Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah 35 from verse 1 to 10. Can we quickly run there and read together? Isaiah 35. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Isaiah 35 from verse 1 to 10. If you're there, say amen. Isaiah 35, 1 to 10. 1 to go. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an art. And streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, and an highway shall be there. Though fools shall not err therein, thereon, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the day of possibilities. Glory to God. Glory to God. The day of possibilities. Spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that day of salvation, when it shall come, impossibilities shall be possible. Impossibilities among men shall become possible. Yes, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Hallelujah. There shall be rivers in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In strange places you see the miraculous interventions by the power of God. Things that men have termed impossible have now become possible. Become possible. So faith for the impossible must be what you and I have. We must stir up that on a daily basis. Impossibilities with men are possible with God. Isaiah 50 and verse 2. Isaiah 50 and verse 2. Isaiah 50 and verse 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that he cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. Hallelujah. You know, there's a way we can read the Old Testament writings and look at it and say, okay, he was speaking about the plan of God which has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And then, you know, you look at this one, for instance, and say, yeah, God's hand has redeemed in Christ. And it's a great thing, right? Amen. But you must see from here that today, the hand of God is not short to redeem. Amen. It can deliver the stubborn. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The obstinate. The wicked.
The preacher can be sure to cultivate in hard grounds and get men saved, get men full of the Holy Ghost, get men given to prayer. So revival is possible. Hallelujah. Fresh fire is possible in the churches, in the nations. The hand of God is not shutting, that it cannot save, that it cannot deliver. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Isaiah 59 and 1 said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. His ears are open to our prayers. Hallelujah. So if we want that street, he'll give it to us. If we want that estate, that community, he'll give it to us. Amen. If we want that nation, he'll give it to us. That continent. Hallelujah. Faith for the impossible. I told you that story of Apostle Joseph, where he took seven disciples to go and pray. And he said, you wait here. I'm going there to pray. And he gave them one loaf of bread. Be eating this one till I come. That's what he said. And they ate one loaf. Seven men ate one loaf of bread till he returned after 7 days. Ezra, we have a question to ask you. What kind of bread did you give us? He told them that, didn't you hear what I said? I said, be eating this one till I come. Amen. Said in your my God, one loaf. Praise the Lord. Those days are not over. They are not. Faith for the impossible. Of course, in Isaiah 64 and verse 4, which Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, I had not seen nor heard, nor entered in the heart of man, the things God have prepared for them that love him. Of course, in that context, salvation, the things that God will do. But we know we can expand and extend that by application, amen, to the things that God wants to do or can do. In this generation, in this season, Jesus said in John 14, verily I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, that shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. John 14 and verse 12. Verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Does that sound like all things are possible? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. Hallelujah. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Verse 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. 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 Faith for the impossible. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Faith in the power that delivered Israel. Brought them out of Egypt. Untouched, unscratched, a whole nation, fed them in the wilderness 40 years, gave them water, provided manna. As a matter of fact, he preserved them in the wilderness. Hallelujah. You know, 40 years, you don't remain the same. I mean, from what we see in scripture, it's as though they grew with their clothes. Praise God. Or you think they were sewing? They were calling their tailor. We have done 5 years now. We need new clothes. My God. He kept them. He preserved them. They kept going from place to place. They were not inside Siena or Icebox. Amen? On foot. Their legs, he preserved them. He preserved them. Not broken. Untouched, unhurt. Faith for the impossible. You must be able to believe God. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 1:19 lets us know that He says, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, to also to believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. Verse 20. And set him as Lord rather in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but those in that which is come. And I put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. So, of a truth, by the time you look at the scriptures, you discover that all the ultimate impossibility is God's salvation for man. And he fulfilled that in his son. Hallelujah. Fulfill that in his son, that whosoever believes today will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will become a child of God, will become a son of God. Will not only experience God's goodness and kindness and not be part of his family. No, we'll be grafted into God's family. We'll have same life, the same life that the Father has. That which seemed impossible to man, God made possible in his son. Man's impossibility is always God's possibility. Always. Always. I cannot do a 2-hour journey in 1 minute. God can. In less than. Amen. Praise the Lord. Albert Einstein studied and, a scientist, of course, and then, of course, he came up with the relativity theory, and then studied and said, if you travel at the speed of light, you would arrive yesterday. Amen. So if man could observe facts in this earth and reason like that, amen. Now that speed is so fast, you might probably get to where you are going the previous day. If you travel like that, praise the Lord. God is everywhere. What is impossible for man to do, God has all the power to do it. And do it 1,000 times. Man doesn't know beyond what has happened and what is happening now. But God knows ahead. Hallelujah. God can tell us about 2030 now. Man's impossibilities are always possibilities with God. Are always God's possibilities. So in the miraculous, the works of power, we must exercise our faith a whole lot more. In Mark 5, from verse 25 to 34, Jesus, looked at the woman with the issue of blood, who kept saying, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she did. And virtue led Jesus, and Jesus turned back and said, who touched me? So our disciples said, a lot of people are thronging you here. You can't say who touched you here. People are touching you. So no, I know what I'm saying. I am saying that someone touched me and virtue left me. And then the woman, knowing what has been done in her, owned up and said, I did. And Jesus said, your faith has made you. Hallelujah. Something she suffered for 12 years. Something that she spent all that she had and didn't even grow better, rather grew worse. But a touch of the hem of Jesus' garment without Jesus' knowledge, she got healed. Hallelujah. She got healed. She got healed. She got healed. In Mark 16, Jesus, upon his resurrection, from verse 15 to 18. Just go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized, he that believes not, shall be damned. In verse 17, and this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take out serpents, and if they drink any deadly, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These supernatural indications shall accompany you. Amen. Of course, you know those are the gifts of the Spirit. They are abilities, supernatural abilities, to begin to do the impossible. To begin to do the impossible. Hallelujah. To begin to do the impossible. So we must tell our faith more for the miraculous. For the miraculous. For the miraculous. For the miraculous. Yes. We must be ready to be disciplined. To make the sacrifices. And to labor hard. To see the impossible become possible. to see the impossible become possible. Heard of missionaries who went to places that they did not understand their language and they depended on prayer alone. Prayer alone. I mean, how much of excuses do we give ourselves? It's language barrier, it's this, but we can pray. Amen. We can fast. We can believe for the impossible. Hallelujah. Several men of God have gone to a place, they spoke with tongues, and they were speaking their language. I'm not trying to say that tongues, right, is the language of other people. No, but by miracles, by the gift of the working of miracles, a man can by his native tongue in Christ, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
which we call unknown tongues, speak another man's language. Faith for the impossible. Are you ready to pray?
Yes.
Faith for the impossible. Can we tell about faith this morning? Oh, this evening. Come on. This evening. Faith for the impossible.